I keep asking God, why do you keep having me revisit these messages? Because he said, you need to hear them. And sometimes you can preach a message and not hear a message. He said, but I'm going to keep you preaching until you hear it. Well, I think I want to hear it. There are so many things that are pressuring us today in our lives. So many things. Spiritual, physical, and financial. And the financial affects the spiritual. The spiritual affects the physical. The physical affects the spiritual. And so on and so on. And it doesn't matter which way you put it, they all going to affect one another. And the one thing that I keep noticing that is becoming slacker and slacker and less in the earth today and in the Christian world is the love of God. Amen. It's the love of God. Because we just want to go to church, do our thing, and call it a day. We forget about those that are going through, those that are less fortunate than we are, those that are troubled in their minds or in their hearts. Most cases, we just don't want to hear. Or sometimes we add to their problems by patting them on the back for their whining and their complaining. Amen. Open up your Bibles to 1 John. We're going back there again. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. I am experiencing things that are going on in my life that want to separate me from the reality of the love of God. Wants to separate you. You have to see it for what it is. I spend a lot of time now reminding myself not to take it personal. But in most cases, it don't work like that. But I have to keep reminding myself nevertheless. Don't take it personal. Because if you take it personal, then you will become emotionalized. And if you become emotionalized, then you're going to be separated from what God actually called or ordained you to. We assume that God has called us and ordained us to be pastors and prophets and teachers and apostles and evangelists, but what he called us to was love. Amen. When in the garden, when he told them, we want to create man in our image, and we want you to reproduce after our character and in our image and in our character, what was that that was supposed to reproduce? Was the love of God, because that's what the character of God is, the love of God. For the love of, it says, the love of God constraineth us. For the love of God is greater than anything that you could possibly have. But there are things going on in your life that want to separate you from that love. If they separate you from that love, you'll stop seeing the good in people. And if you come to a place where you stop seeing the good in them, then it will affect your heart. And if it affects your heart, then it will affect your spirit. And if it affects your spirit, it'll separate you from what God originally called and chose you to. When God called us and chose us and predestinated that we become the sons of God, what he was saying in a nutshell was that I have called you to be love creation. I have created you to love. Amen. It's easy. It's most, we really would rather just love with filial love, because you can turn that off. You can leave that land by the wayside. You can take filial love and just forget about it altogether. But you can't forget about the love of God. Amen. Now, there are times when you would love to, and you would like to, because there's some folks you just like to go right upside their head. Or you like to give them a piece of your mind. I try to hold on to all mine, Sister Brenda. I can't afford to lose none. But you want to share it anyway. Because of the things you're going through. And every time I see this. This was not my message for this morning. This morning I was going to minister on no weapon formed against you in Isaiah. But I had some anger issues this morning. And God said, I need to touch you, so this is what you go preach. Because every time I went to go over my stuff on no weapon, I couldn't see it. So I said, if I could see it and feel it, then I'd preach it anyway. I sung it and felt it, but I can't preach it. Because there are some of you going through the same things I'm going through, having the same experiences, and you would just like to do away with some folks. I'm first. Brother Sean, I'm surprised he's still in here. But you know what Brother Sean's favorite saying is? Stand in line. I don't care what you say to him. First thing will come out of his mouth, get in line. And that's what we ought to just come to the conclusion. Well, you just got to get in line. Amen. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and doth it not yet appear that we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Perceive, behold, what manner. If you look at the word manner, it means that folks want to interrogate you. They want to see if you back up your word. You always talk about how great God is. They want to see just how great your God is. So they want to interrogate you. It's almost like they're interrogating you because they want to know what possibly or who possibly you are. So John was saying your perception has to be great so that behold, perceive what manner or I'm interrogating the love of the Father has put. You have to interrogate yourself too. Sometimes you have to check yourself and see just what type of love you have in you. There's more than agape. There's filio and there's, what's the other one? Don't look it up. We know that there's more of them. And they represent different things that go on in and around our lives. But he is saying, perceive what manner of love or affection or what kind of Christ do you have in you? He's asking the question. That the Father, what kind of Christ do you have that the Father or the parents had bestowed? Wow, my God. Somebody say bestowed. What God has placed in you or allowed to be in you. Or I like this word, infected you with. In us, what type of love, what kind of Christ, what type of affection have the Father or who is our parent, has he bestowed or placed within us or committed to us? Yeah. You have a commitment. Your commitment is to walk in the love of God. I'm going to stand here right in front of you flat-footed because I am flat-footed and tell you there's some times I just don't want to show the love of God. Unlike you, I get tired of folk. I get tired of me. I get tired of my thoughts. I get tired of my ideas. And I get tired of principles that I'm trying to manifest in myself to figure out why I'm where I'm at and how to get out of it.
Amen.
But it's easy. All you got to do is go back to what Jesus said. Seek ye first.
Yeah. Come on now.
That's the easiest verse to this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Right.
And what you have need of, God, you don't have to go looking for it. He'll give it to you.
Yeah.
He'll add it to you.
Yeah.
Amen. And he said, look what kind of love I put in you that we should be called or become. See, we're a work in progress. You're trying to become what God has called you. What God has already chosen you to be. What God has already predestined that you become. But there are things, there are roadblocks. There are orange cones. There are potholes. And then the worst one, there are sinkholes. That are waiting on you. Whether you're living right or living wrong, they're sitting there and they're waiting on you. And this is the kind of scenario you can put it in. It's like this. What you can say in most cases is, if you're serving God to the best of the ability that he's placed in you, you got AAA. I don't have AAA, but Martina do. And I got a car always broke down someplace. Hey, T, I'm broke down. So where you at? And AAA show up. Jack it up. Back it up. Smack it up. Line it up. Pull it up. Load it up, whatever they got to do. That's what God is saying. I'm here for you. But it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you to let the love of God manifest in your life, regardless of what people think about you, what they have to say about you, how they treat you, how they act around you. God expects this love to manifest itself because it's going to cost you. I hear these verses in my spirit, and then they connect themselves, Diane. I just heard the word of God said, to whom much is given, much is required. Well, what God has given us is the love of God.
Amen.
And something's required.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm feisty. Sometimes I can be too feisty for little John. I have to repent. I could be walking down the street and the sidewalk could be completely blocked by a bunch of guys. Instead of me going around, I'm going through them. That's not common sense. That is not common sense. Common sense says avoid it and just go around. Not me. I feel like they're blocking the sidewalk and they belong to all of us. Love of God, the love of God, if I had allowed it to operate in my life, would have constrained me. When you're constrained by the love of God, it produces common sense. That's when I found out, Brother Mickey, that when God save you and deliver you, some things he don't take out of you. Some things he just expects you to bring under subjection. That's when the love of God comes in, for the love of God constraineth you. It's quiet in here, Jesus. Somebody messing with you. That we should become the sons of God. Well, we know the word God is translated theos, or the revealed God, that you might be the son that God already ordained that you become, and the only way you will become that is if you manifest the love of God.
Yeah.
We are in a day, in an hour, when folks have created their own love.
Yeah.
They getting ready to start adding words for love and definitions for love in the Webster. Because folks creating their own. And the bad thing about it is, pastors, they living by it. And you dare not tell them they wrong. I want to be a son of God. It says, now this clipped my wings. Therefore the world knoweth us not. Okay, don't let your mind go to them folks out there in the streets. If you're doing all you can do to let this love live through you, it's folks in the church that don't know you. They don't recognize you. They don't recognize the gift that God has given you. They don't recognize the authority that God has given you. Because they're assuming that you're just being haughty and self-exalted. When all you're really trying to do is manifest the reality of the love of God. Therefore, that thing intent, or by reason of their own dilemmas, or by reason of their own conflicts in their lives, they assume, oh Jesus, that you are fake. Can't nobody really have that kind of love in them. Remember the old thing? They still preach it, a lot of it. You can't never become like Jesus. Yeah. I can. You know why I can? Because Jesus made us, we have not a high priest. Amen. Who was tempted in all points as like we are, but yet he didn't allow his own nature to have precedence or authority over the love that the Father had bestowed in him. Yeah. Oh. Folks assume if you're going to be like Jesus, you got to be perfect. No, you just have to be mature enough to know the right and the wrong. For the world knoweth us not, because they knew him not. It's folks in the church that come to church all the time don't know Jesus. They know of him. Ooh, Lord, it's going to get a little rough in here. You had better know your God and know who he is in your life, or you are not going to make it. They got all this different stuff going on. What you can eat, what you can't eat, what's good for you, and what's not good for you. Stuff that wasn't good for you 2 weeks ago is good for you today. Stuff that was good for you 2 weeks ago ain't good for you today. They got it all versed up. 1 minute this, 1 minute that. The science is trying to take over. But my Bible says the love of God. Jesus died that we might have life and have it more. Why did he die? Because of the love.
That's right.
It's because of the love. It ain't because he think you so great. It ain't because he thought I was so anointed.
Amen.
He died because he knew I was foolish. And I needed some insight. And the only way I was going to get the insight was that the love of God began to manifest itself in my life so I could see him the way he is. We have made our own illusions about the way Jesus looked. You'd be amazed at what I hear preachers arguing about. I don't even get in it. I just sit and look. Because I'm amazed. Do you know preachers would sit up and argue about whether Jesus was black or white? About what region he was born in? And I'm sitting there chewing on my tongue, Brother Andy, because I wanted to say, what difference do it make? He in your heart. But they done got pretty smart. They don't ask me no more. They like it when I just sit there and be quiet. Then I get tired. I just get up and move. They didn't know him. They didn't understand Jesus. There are folks in the church that don't understand Jesus. They only live their lives according to the way you live yours. So that puts that much more pressure on you to live right. I'm closing. But you know what I like about it? He called us the beloved. God done committed something to us. He done committed his son to us. And he expects us, in spite of hell, deep water, storms, trials, tribulations, stress, anxiety, sickness, whatever. He expects us to allow his love to live and live through us. And it's getting harder and harder and harder and harder. But that don't change the fact that he wants you to do it. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. When you see the word not, it means it's not dependent on how you feel. It's not based on how you feel. It's not based on your emotions. It's only based on the word of God. That's why I'm very careful not to say, I feel like. That don't mean nothing. My side might be hurting. So what I'm feeling might come from my side hurting and not from what the word says. We are, beloved, we are. Now are we. Now, 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 now are we the sons of the revelatory God that is in your life. And even though with all the stress and the anxiety and the trials and the tribulations of life that you're going through, it don't yet appear. Elder Green, there's times I've been going through, I can't see Jesus in me. All I see is me. And for some strange reason, the more me I see, the more stressed I become. Because that lets me know I'm not much farther away from seeing my Father. I know a lot of y'all waiting to get to heaven to see Jesus, see the Father. I want to see him now. I want to see him now. I want to appreciate the blessings in the midst of the storm. I want to be able to appreciate healing in the midst of sickness. I want to be able to appreciate knowing that God is able to give me what I have need of in the midst of my financial struggles. I want to appreciate that. But you got to know him. Even though it does not yet appear, or it hasn't rendered itself apparent because you done got so caught up in what you're going through. Amen. I do it all the time, Jesus. Amen. Help me. Amen. I, Lord, help my time. Amen. You get so caught up, you forget that God said you even got to love the heathen. Y'all don't understand, when the Bible talks about heathen, it's talking about church folks.
Really, I'm almost done.
We do not yet appear, but we shall be. We don't know yet what we shall be because we have convinced ourselves that we can't see him. But you got to come to a place to know or have full understanding of who you are in God and what God called you to. You do. I can't convince you. The other pastors can't convince you. Ain't no apostle going to come from out of town and convince you who you're supposed to be in God. Because as soon as he leave, the same mess you was going through before he got through prophesying to you is going to start all over again. So you have to be prepared. But we know that. One of the elders said something this morning about corporate fasting. We need corporate togetherness. Because that's what this is talking about. It's talking about a corporate anointing. Or a corporate love. And a love that comes together. That has the ability to overwhelm hatred and envy and strife and conflict when it comes into our churches. Because it's coming. Oh well. Every time them doors open, every time somebody comes through, they bring something with them. You may not know what it is. And they might refuse to accept what it is. But God done searched the heart and he know what it is. That's why he wants us to see him instead of us. Because as long as you see you, you gonna do you. You ever got mad with somebody and said, I'll tell you what, you do you and I do me. The moment you make that statement, the power of the tongue changes the thing because there's life and death in the tongue. The moment you say that, guess what you start doing? You. You become angry.
Glory.
Upset. To the place where you are in your mindset. You done become violent. So then you have to ask yourself, can you see Jesus? I'll stay here and tell you, I done got so upset, I forgot I was saved. I know y'all ain't never getting me that. I'm on mint. I had to bind my thoughts. I had to bind my disposition. I had to bind my attitude, and I had to do it fast, quick, and in a hurry. Like Pastor said, I had to do it yesterday. Because it will take you someplace that you've been avoiding since you got saved. You know what it says with creating me a clean heart? When I got to studying that, it wasn't talking about making you perfect. He was talking about creating me the love that was in the Father that was transformed into the Son that's in the Son that's now in us.
Amen.
Is the cook out there or something burning? Oh, you know what's burning? Oh, okay. We don't have to run, do we? Oh, okay. Just checking. Because, you know, danger make folks forget they saved, too. You be laying on the floor, and they be using you for a floor mat, trying to get through one of these doors. I hear people get up and say all the time, I ain't never forgot I was saved. I go, he lying. He lying. And it ain't no white one. He just lying. I guess ain't nobody here thought about beating nobody up. I made a statement this morning. I had to repent before I got to find Brother Andy. I made a statement. I like just throw somebody, take them, throw them off top of that roof over there. Now that wasn't God. That was that old man trying to free himself. I said, Lord, forgive me. I meant it, but I know I can't do it. So, sear my thoughts and bring me back to the reality of the cross. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. When he shall render himself apparent, when you look in the mirror, I don't care what you're going through, you're going to see Christ. Because you're going to recognize, I went through this and I made it. I fought this battle and I made it. I was sick, but now I live. I was broke, but I'm still making it. My enemies are coming against me, but I still have joy. Unspeakable joy. I got trouble everywhere, but I still have a praise down in my heart. God, folks persecute me and afflicted me, but I can look at them and know that I can still love them with the love of God. That's when he appears. That's when Jesus appears. That's when you shall know him as he is. You shall be able to see him as he is, because what's in you is going to come out and bring it to light. So let me tell you what, in closing, you better make sure what's in you. You better make sure you know. It says, because every man has this hope or this innocence in him. But you know what? The most important part about all these verses with this next two words, that you have to purify yourself. You have to purify yourself. You got to do it. Stop waiting on somebody to come by and lay their hands on you and make you want to do what you need to do. You got to do it. And you have to have great expectations. That's what hope. And every man has this expectation in him. And he purifies himself. Because now you come into a place in your life where you can actually see Jesus moving and operating in your life. Because of all the hell and the struggle and the trials and tribulation that you've been through. But God always remind me, if you don't have no struggles, no trials, no tribulations, no afflictions, no things, you cannot have no victory. I got this hope. It's Jesus. He's my hope. And I'm determined to run this race. And be able to say, I kept the faith. Amen. What is keeping the faith? Seeing him as he is in your life. Because recognizing that faith is life. And life is in that faith. Explicit faith, a divinely implanted principle in your life, which is living and breathing, bringing forth the love and the power of God. Baby, what's going on the earth, you ain't seen nothing yet. And if you don't already know him,
come on now.
I got a sister named Rose. She said, pity on the fool. Better know. Amen. And everything that you could possibly, all these verses are becoming reality. Amen. You shall be tried like as unto the fire. Yes. But only if you keep victory in the midst of the fire will you come forth as pure gold. Amen. And you know what the thing is? God not going to make you gold. You're going to have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And all the gold is talking about is becoming pure in heart and sincere with your servitude in God. If you're trying to get perfect, you better get over it. If you're waiting on God to come by and sit on you and zap you, you might as well get over that too. For lo and behold, for my spirit shall not always strive with man, but that man that has the ability to bring himself under subjection to the very word that he knows, I shall strive with and strive in. And I shall use that vessel as a vessel of life and a vessel of honor and not dishonor. And men and women that are lost and broken and destroyed and discouraged shall run to the cross. And they shall run to the cross because they shall see the cross in you. Because you will have recognized that you are the cross. And that you have seen who you are and who you were to become. And because of that, you have recognized that I am the giver of all life. I'm the giver of joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and mercy and grace. For out of your life shall this flow, and it shall flow into the good ground of those, even into the fallow ground or the ground that is not of any good. I shall restore that ground, and I shall bring forth divine deliverance and divine healing in the lives of those that are broken. For I shall use you, saith God, but you must render yourself even unto me. Cast down your imagination and stop reasoning within yourself while you're tried and while you're tempted and while you're afflicted, and understand that I am your God, and I shall never leave thee. I shall never forsake thee, but I shall be with you even until the end of the world. But it's not to the swift, but to the fast, but it's unto him that findeth the power and the authority in him to go all the way until the end, in spite of their circumstance and their situation, saith God. Everyone stand. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.